You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Heart of the Father by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
So provision is relative to how God blesses you. But every father should get pleasure and delight and great joy in being able to provide for his children. In Genesis 30:30, Jacob comes to his father-in-law after he's worked at least 14 years. He worked 7 years to get Leah, and the Bible says Leah was cow-eyed. That's what Leah means, cow-eyed. Now, I don't know why call it cow-eyed. I don't know if she said moo or when other folk looked at it and said move. That went over better first service. Y'all don't think that's funny? Okay, that did better first service. All right. Says she was cow-eyed. And then it says, of course, what was it, Rachel? She was attractive. He had to work at least 14 years. And so he works for these two women after he's been tricked. He's working for his father-in-law. And then he says this in Genesis 30:30. He said, what you had was little when I came, and now has increased your multitude. And the Lord has blessed me since I came here. He said, you blessed because I'm working for this company. Some of y'all don't realize that. God set you putting that company to be blessed. Look, somebody say, the blessings on you, blessings on you. He said, you've been blessed since I came here. He said, now, after I've been working for all these years, now it's time. There's an entrepreneurial spirit working in me. There's something happening on the inside of me. When should I be able to provide for my own? There was something that he wanted to provide for his own family, his own children at a higher level. That's what the heart of a father does. He wants to provide for his own. The heart of the father is to give to his children. One thing I was looking at in Luke 15, when we read the story about the prodigal son in Luke 15. Now, I'm not sure I could have been as giving and as generous of this father. But in Luke 15:12, the younger the father said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls me. He said, the father divided unto them all his living. You know, you usually got your inheritance when your father died. I don't know how old his father was, but it didn't look like to him the father was dying quick enough. He couldn't wait. So he said, give me what falls to me now. And his father divided that unto him. Now, I don't know how I would act. I mean, come on, you can't wait till I die. I probably said, I don't have to give you nothing. But he gave it to him because the heart of a real father is to provide and give. Now, he went and wasted it, but he gave it to him. In Genesis 25:5. Now, I really don't want to get deep in this, but the Bible says, that's an easy verse. It says, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. He gave all that he had unto Isaac. Now, read it when you get home. But the context around there, he said, and to his concubines and the children of the concubines, he gave them some gifts. Isaac was a child born in the house, the promised child, the child he wanted. The other ones was just random children with random women. Eyes straight ahead. Okay. And he gave to Isaac all that he had. Listen, you need to understand, whenever there's multiple children, different women, all that, and somebody's going to get left with a short end of the stick. Okay, Jesus. Let me see. Let me see if I got a good scripture. Let me see here. Let's just try this one. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, he's talking about God the Father, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us some things? All things. That's the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is to bless his children with everything that he needs and even desires to his ability. What God's saying here, what's the ultimate gift that the Father gave us? His son, Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, if God spared not to give us his own son, how shall he not freely give you a car? How shall he not freely give you a house? How shall he not freely give you meals? So you sweating the small stuff if you just remember that he gave you Jesus. If he gave you his prized possession, his only begotten son, in whom he was well pleased according to his own word, how shall he not free to give you all things? Everybody say, God wants to give me all things. Now, see, so what that should be doing, that should be stretching you beyond need. Some of you heard me say this years ago. When I first got married, and even as a young adult, I said, just say, as long as I can pay my bills, I'll be here. And then I got Philippians 4:19. Thank you, Lord, for supplying my need according to riches and glory. And then one time I was operating in presumption. I went around creating needs. I went around creating needs and then thought I could stand on the scripture. Like a charge. How old was I? I must have been about 19, 20. I got an American Express card. No limit. No limits. No boundaries. I see increase all around me. Got that American Express card. I said, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yes, sir. Got that American Express card. Went shopping, y'all. I think I one day spent about $2,000 on that card. By 1920. Next month, I got a bill. And it said Mountain Dew, $2,000. I kept looking through it. There must be another bill. Where the one that say $20? That ain't how American distress work. That American Express became American distress. And then I thought I could stand on the scripture. But Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all my need. So, Lord, you know I need to pay this $2,000. I found out they ain't had that scripture work. Tell your neighbor, say they ain't had that scripture work. Some of y'all trying to work that scripture like that, doing dumb stuff and then creating needs and think you can stand on that word. That ain't what God's talking about. But that's what I was doing for a while until I learned better. That's why I try to avoid all my children from ever doing that. Because some of y'all really don't understand this. I'm serious, y'all. Credit cards for rich people. Some of y'all ain't found that out yet. Credit cards are for rich people. Credit cards for rich people. People who got more than enough. Otherwise, credit
will haunt you, will torment you. You must pay me now.
Take your sleep from you. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Okay? I try to avoid my children from making some of those same mistakes. And I tried to teach them. The heart of his father is to give and to provide. And he wants to provide beyond need. Everybody say beyond need. Now, I want to stay there and make that point with you for a moment. Because some of you have thought all God wants to do is supply your needs. And you stay there and you stay. Having just needs met is never sufficient. Know why? Because crisis occurs. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Okay? How many tires do you need on the car? Four. Right? You need four. You need four until you get a flat. That's called crisis. When the flat comes, now you need a spare. Well, you hunt somebody, say, I need some spare money. Need some spare money. Because stuff happens. That's why you need some spare money. That's why you need more than enough. Amen. That's why you need more money than you need month. Because the Bible said, let him that hath two coats give to him that hath none. And so I always thought need was good enough until I heard Kenneth Copeland teaching one time. And I was watching this. And he said, some of you always talk about all our needs enough to take care of my need. He said, you stingy, selfish thing, you. I said, man, why got to be all that? He said, because of all you have is enough to just supply your needs, you can't bless anybody else. You can't help anybody else. Then I realized that, God, I need more than needs. Everybody say, I need more than needs. So I want to let you know, God wants to supply your need, settle your need, and move you beyond need that you have some spare money. So enough to live and enough to give. That's the heart. That's the heart of a father. Secondly, the heart of the father is to sacrifice. The heart of a father is a sacrifice. We saw that God freely gave us his son. It was a sacrifice. When God called Abraham, what's that? Genesis 22nd chapter. God calls Abraham, come up, bring Isaac up into the mountain and sacrifice him there. Know what God was trying to see? Do you have a heart like me? Do you have a heart like me? And he took him and he was willing to sacrifice. Watch this. Here's the question God was trying to get him to settle. Do you love the giver more than you love the gift? Some of y'all, you believe, I usually happen more with women than men, but I've seen women want a husband, want a man, and then they get a man, now we can't come to church anymore. Now, why is that? God said, oh, you can't have a man and still keep the man? What's up with that? God bless you, new car. You know, Sunday, the only time I got to clean my car. Really? So now you start worshiping the gift more than you honor the giver. God said, I don't care what I'll bless you, cause you have more than enough. Just still keep me in a position of preeminence. Keep me in a position of priority. You can have all the things you want as long as those things don't have you. Amen. So the heart of a father is to sacrifice. Sacrifice means to put the family's needs and the children's needs above your own. The heart of a father is to put the family's needs, the children's needs above your own. Now, some of us, we got to make some adjustments because we didn't see that. That's the heart of a father. And probably a parent it should be a parent in general. But right now, I'm really talking my fathers. The Bible says this, which is why, ladies, you need a husband to be saved in order to qualify for a husband that God tells a Christian woman to marry. Okay, now I know you can get married. You don't have to be saved. But if you're going to be the kind of man that God said a man should be, he got to be saved. Why? Because it says husbands, the duty of a husband is to love his wife the way Christ loved the church. You got to have a revelation of how Christ loved the church. If you really knew how much God loved, Christ loved the church, you would be saved. There's no way you could recognize that kind of love and not reciprocate. Are you following me? So a husband, love your wife the way what? Christ loved the church. And then how did he love the church? He goes on to describe and gave himself for her. So a husband is supposed to be a sacrificing man. Now, some of this I had to learn and get better at as I got married. Because I had some real archaic views. I did. I had some archaic views because Mother Bailey, she was a very serving wife, and she did everything for my uncle and. He never had to demand anything because she just did everything. So I just thought, man, you know, this woman is here to meet my needs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All day long. Amen. She's here to meet my needs. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then I found out later, watch this, when prior to us coming to starting this church, we went through a boot camp in Oklahoma. We went through a boot camp named Apostles Milford and Evelyn Carter. They took us to a boot camp. It wasn't intended to be a boot camp. That was a boot camp. We got, Lord Jesus. They took us through boot camp. One of the things he said, I was complaining about Marcia one time to my pastor. I said, she don't do this. She don't do this. She don't do this. She need to do such. He said, well, she don't do what you do it. Huh? What kind of man is this? You know, I thought he was going to talk to her. Bring it off and let me make her do, tell her to do what she's supposed to do. I said, well, she don't clean the house. He said, well, you want the house clean, clean it. If it ain't clean, clean it. He said, if she see you doing it all the time, she realize that she can help you. I said, Pastor, I don't know if that's going to work. But what he started teaching me was I'm supposed to sacrifice for my wife. I hadn't heard that like that. Husband, watch this. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And wives, see that you reverence your husband. I'm going to go deeper, brothers. When you got a woman who feel emotional love for you, that's a bonus. That ain't even required. I went too deep for y'all. That ain't even required. It says, see that she reverence. That word love, when you look at even other translations, it talks about activity. See that she reverences, venerates. What's the other word? Respects. So the wife's responsibility is to respect her husband. Put some respect on his name. That seems like the theme, common theme. Put some respect on the husband's name. Put some respect on it. Don't be just sliding no plate across. Put some respect on that plate. Put some respect on that meal. Don't just fix him something to eat. Cook him a meal. Y'all know the difference between cooking a meal and fixing something to eat. When you don't have no time, what you do? You fix something to eat. Fix something to eat and cooking ain't the same thing. Put some respect on it. But husbands are supposed to love their wife, sacrifice for their wife. Now, you need to say, I had to help. The Lord had to help me. My wife had to help me because I was the kind of person I wanted to be served and I didn't want to be inconvenienced. If I'm laying down, you know I'm laying down. Don't bother me while I'm laying down. If my feet up, my feet up now. You should have asked me why my feet was down. Now, I'm putting my feet up now. Don't be inconveniencing me to put my feet down once I put my feet up. Can you come help me with these bags? Now? You know the game's on. Bring the bags in when the game's off. How about halftime? See? I had the attitude I didn't want to be inconvenienced. But sacrifice means inconvenienced. Brothers, if you ain't willing to sacrifice, you ain't ready to be married. Amen. Because that's the job of a husband, to sacrifice for his wife, sacrifice for his children, put their needs above your needs. So you got to go to the mall even though you won't go to the mall. That's sacrificing for companionship. You ideally try to direct them to one that got a seat in there for the men. These stores today, I don't know what's wrong with them. They don't have no more seats now. Sometimes we've been shot by going in places and I see a couple of men sitting. I said, is this the men's section? You're in the women's department, but there's one seat there. That's the men's section. We sit right there. And then I learned just to get involved. We can speed this thing up. See, brothers, you got to learn how to do this thing. What you looking for, honey? What color are you looking for? Yeah. How about this one? This is it. You see this one? Try these on, babe. These are good right here. I'm trying to help you, brother. Get out quicker. Get involved. Get into it. Sacrifice. That's the heart of a father. 2 Corinthians 12, 14, 15. Now I got another point I'm going to make. 2 Corinthians 12, 14, 15. Paul writes to his spiritual children, the Corinthians. He said, if you can, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation for the sake of time. He said, I'm coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. He's talking to them as the spiritual children. I'm not going to be a burden to you. I don't want what you have. I want you. After all, children don't provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for the children. At least initially, then later on, the Bible says requite when you're old enough to do so at the resource. Verse 15, he's talking about the sacrifice that he has as a father towards the children. I will gladly spend myself and all I have for you. Even though it seemed that the more I love you, he felt like a thankless father. Even though it seemed like the more I love you, the less you love me. He said, I will gladly spend myself and all I have for you. I'm willing to sacrifice for you. Fathers, know what that means? That means if you got to look, do without so your wife and your children can look better, that's what you're willing to do. It ain't right, brothers. It ain't right for you. It ain't right for you to come in here looking all nice and dapper and got your tape line. Look like you just stepped out of Hugo Boss and Neiman Marcus, and I mean you got your dapper shoes on, your wife looked like you just dropped her off at the Goodwill and said, "See if you can find something, follow me." It ain't right. I mean, if your tape line can be straight, her wig should at least be straight. It ain't right. I told you, I had to learn that regarding my children. My children, Daniel just loved sneakers. He loved sneakers. He was always asking for sneakers. And then as they got older, I tried to turn the commercials off and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, kids don't need to be seeing the latest. That's the devil. Turn it down. You know, we shopped at, back in time, we strictly shopped at Marshall's. And Burlington and Shoe Carnival. Yes, sir. Thank God for Shoe Carnival. Okay. I told my kids when they was small, they told me they wanted some Jordans. I said, "You don't need no Jordans. Everybody else got Jordans. Those are high flyers. High flyers are better than Jordans." You see, walk. Go ahead and walk. You see that light? Jordan don't have no light. These are high flyers. The high flyers better than the Jordan. I can't remember one of them. I said, "Go ahead, jump." I said, "See how you?" He jumped. I said, "See how you jump in those high flyers? Can't jump that high, no Jordans." So then I remember one time with the boys. It was kind of like the oldest try to spend the most money. So it was one time it was something like, "All right, we're going to work this out. Chandler get $40. Tyler get $30. Daniel get $20. I'm missing. It was 40 cents. Yeah. No, 30. What was it? Yeah. Anyway, you try to work it out, you know, in the incremental. And so I remember one time I wasn't going to spend no more than $100 on sneakers for all of them. You just got to be diligent. Seek, ye shall find. We went all around the city. You remember that day? We went to Burlington. We went to Shoe Carnival. I don't know if they had Payless. Went to Payless. And I was riding all around the city trying to find a pair of Third Life sneakers. And the Lord reminded me, said, "You know what? If you went on and bought the first one, you could have saved some gas. I think you already spent more than that on the gas." Then one time, Daniel, I said, "I ain't buying no more. They want some more things." I think it was Daniel. I said, "I'm not buying it. There's nothing wrong with those you got now. They don't have no holes in them. Now you're just going to wear those." I looked outside. He's like, "Oh, we need holes in them." That's all? I can make some holes in them. I was being so cheap with my children. This at a time, probably at that time, I had probably stepped up. I maybe wearing some $100 shoes or something. I can't remember. Somebody said to me, maybe Marcia said to me, she said, "See how you got all these shoes?" He said, "It's all right for your kids to have nice shoes too." "But they ain't paying for no nice shoes. They don't have no job. They get nice shoes when they get a job." See, you have to get beyond that poverty mindset. Because, see, when I grew up, we had three types of shoes. And they last a whole year. Y'all remember? Had church shoes. We had school shoes. And you had play shoes. That's it. And y'all remember that? And don't get it twisted.
Our Heavenly Father has a soft spot just for you. Learn and understand the heart of the Father towards you in this powerful message by Dr. Herbert Bailey. Order this CD-DVD combination today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Ask for The Heart of the Father. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.